Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Tom Farrell. It was presented in November of 2005. The title of the message, The Key to Maximum Christian Living.
Now, Ephesians chapter 5, we're starting our reading, please, down at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's read verse 18 together, everybody. And be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to talk to you tonight on this topic, the key to maximum Christian living. He only had one short, brief life, and he wanted to make it count, and he didn't want to throw it away. I wonder, what do you want to do with the brief moments that we call life while you're going to be on this planet? It's interesting. He said, if you're going to do anything for eternity, you better redeem, seize the seconds, buy up the moments, maximize the moments. You better not let anything go by, but you invest it for the kingdom of heaven. Now, stop and think about this. God made time and God made you. So God is the only one who knows how to help you make a maximum investment of every day of your life. He explains that down in verse 18 in the verse we read when he says, Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is this. If every day is going to have value to it, you've got to let God live His life through you so that that day will be profitable when you meet Him face to face. Tonight we want to talk about this matter of the filling of the Spirit, which is the key to maximum Christian living. Number one, let's look at the command to be Spirit-filled. All of these things are found in verse 18. Here's what he says. Be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a positive and negative part of the command. Negative part is this. Don't be drunk with wine. Now, why in the world would he write that? Well, in Ephesus, they had a wine god named Bacchus. They worshiped this god by getting sock drunk and committing immoral deeds, and that was one of the ways they worshiped their pagan god. Historians tell us it was not unusual for the people at Ephesus to be drunk at midday. Sounds a whole lot like folks that live in the islands in the United States of America. Have you ever read carefully what God has to say about alcohol? The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 1, Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 23, 29, Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath babblings, who hath redness of eyes, who hath wounds without a cause, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek new wine. Look not on the wine when it is red, when it giveth forth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Now don't miss those words. That's the fermentation process. For at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder or a snake. Now I have news for you. That's when that wine is no longer good juice, but it's been fermented. You say, how do you know? When's the last time you drank Welch's grape juice and said, man, that bites like a poisonous snake? You see, for centuries, we've called liquor spirits. Now you mark this and mark this well. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit, who's a person, and unholy spirits, which is liquor. And God is giving a parallel. Don't get inebriated with liquor, but get under the influence of the Lord. And so there's a negative and a positive. Now, when he makes the positive, be filled with the Spirit, what's he talking about? It's my privilege to serve as vice president of Heart of America Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri. We've trained a number of young men. Now, I tell our guys, fellas, when you get up to preach, don't show off by trying to show everybody how much Greek and Hebrew you know. Many of you may or may not know that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew or Aramaic and the New Testament in the Greek language. Now, tonight I'm going to do something not to show off, but to help you to understand what this two-phrased word, be filled, really is meaning. It's in what is known as the imperative mood. Now, I'll define everything, so don't get upset. The word imperative mood simply means this. It's not an option, it's an obligation, it's a command. Let me illustrate. How many of you remember Exodus chapter 20? We call it the Decalogue. Now, let's see if we can remember them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The Bible says in Exodus that thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. See, you got these 10 commandments. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you know that it is just as much sin not to be filled with the Spirit as it is to bear false witness or lie? Are you aware that when God gives a command, some are positive and some are negative? When He says don't and you do, that's called sin. When He says do and you don't, that's called sin. So let me say it again. It's just as much sin not to be filled with the Spirit as it is to lie. Oh, by the way, if you're filled with the Spirit, you won't lie. Did you know it's just as much sin not to be filled with the Spirit as it is to commit adultery? Now, some of you are really swallowing hard on this one. Oh, by the way, if you're filled with the Spirit, you won't commit adultery. So it's in the imperative mood, and it's a requirement that you and I are to be controlled by the Spirit. Well, it's also in the plural form. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means it's not for the elite. It's for every Christian. It's not for just the pastor and the head of the institute, and whoever happens to be on the church staff. It's for every born-again believer. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not a few of them, all 120. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, the Bible says they were all filled with the Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So understand this. If you've been saved 2 days, 2 years, or 20 years, the command is still for you. Don't be drunk with wine, but make sure that you are controlled by the Spirit. Then it's in the passive voice. Now, what does that mean? It means that you can't do this to yourself. It's done to you. Now, how does that happen? Well, you may be here tonight. You've not been saved. You can't save yourself, but you can surrender to God and He can save you. You can't change your life so that God will accept you. But you can accept God and He will change your life. And so when you get saved, when I say passive voice, it doesn't mean you just kind of stand there and say, okay, God, anytime you're ready. It means you cooperate with Him so He does for you what you cannot do for yourself. Now, let me take just a moment to explain the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Watch my hands just a minute. To hear some people talk, you would think that the Holy Spirit is kind of playing third fiddle, not second, but third fiddle to God the Father, because you'll hear them talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, please understand, we don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God manifested in three persons. One God manifested in three persons. But it's better to do it this way. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son is just as much God as God the Father. God the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Son. So it's one God, and He demonstrates and manifests Himself in three persons. Some people call Him the third person of the Trinity, or the three parts of Almighty God. Now, let's talk about the incoming of the Spirit. When does the Holy Spirit come inside you? Now, listen very carefully, because some of you have never been taught this. When you get saved, the word saved means delivered. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, the moment you are converted, the moment we call born again, John 3:3, that moment you get the Holy Spirit. He comes to live inside of you. Now, some of you have grown up and you believe that you get saved sometime here, and then a few months later you get the Holy Spirit here. Well, the only problem is the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit, he's none of his. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. If you by faith receive Jesus Christ He sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, and He doesn't come in and out. He comes to stay until He presents you to the Heavenly Father. That's the incoming of the Spirit. Then there's the indwelling of the Spirit. John 14:16, I'll pray the Father, He shall send you another Comforter. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know of Him. And He shall be in you. Now that was before Pentecost. But now when you receive Him, He's in you. And here's a wonderful truth. When He comes, it's not in and out. It's not every other day. It's not, you know, I didn't quite obey God today, so He must have leaked out of me. He comes to stay. So there's the incoming and there's the indwelling of the Spirit. When you get saved, you're private property. You've been sealed, set aside by God, and the Holy Spirit came inside of you. You say, well, what are you supposed to pray for the Holy Spirit? You're supposed to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. So there's the incoming, the indwelling, the infilling, or the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word be filled means to be under the control of. Watch it. It means to be under the influence of. If you don't get this, you will never live a maximum Christian life, ever. Now, what was the parallel? What happens when a person gets drunk? They do things they would not do because they're under the influence of liquor. You can take people that are very, very quiet and they become angry. Some of them become real mouthy when the liquor starts. And some of you have heard people, that's the liquor talking through him. That's called under the influence. Now here's what God said. Don't let that happen. You'll make an idiot out of yourself. What you need to allow to happen is the Lord who's come inside of you. You're not going to get any more of Him. So you give Him all there is of you. And you let Him control you. You let Him control what you see and what you hear and what you do. And if you'll do that, then you will enjoy maximum Christian living because God maximizes every day. God never makes a mistake. God never has to say, please forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. God never has to say, I should have never thought that. God never has to apologize for treating anybody wrong. So if you're controlled by the Spirit, you don't have to say, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? I shouldn't have thought that. I can't believe I did that. And people who are not controlled by the Spirit are not maximizing their day. Now, folks, life is very short. And God wants you to enjoy every day. So it's in the imperative mood. You gotta do this. That's what God said. It's in the plural form. It's for the pastor and for a person that just got saved. It's for a 70-year-old believer and a 7-year-old believer. It's in the passive voice. You can't do it to yourself. It must be done to you. So what God is saying is be consciously filled with the Spirit. But He's saying be continuously filled with the Spirit because it's in the present tense. You say, what does that mean? Well, in the present tense, in the original language, it means this. There's a starting point, but no stopping point. It means you keep being filled. You just keep letting God control you. You just don't have any lapse in time. You just be systematic. Don't be spasmodic. You just be the kind of person that lets God move through your life. So it is consciously, it is continuously, and it is conspicuously to be filled. What are the conditions for being Spirit-filled? So let's talk about this, how you get filled with the Spirit. You ready? Number one, write this down. Ask. Oh, preacher, give me something deep. I just did. Ask. You say, preacher, all you got to do is ask to be filled with Spirit. That's step one. Luke 11:13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Do you know why most born-again believers are not filled with the Spirit? You know why? They've never been desperate. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to allow the God who's in you to take full charge of you and control your mind, will, and emotions, because without that, everything else we do is foam and froth and there is no value at all. Second, allow. What does that mean? You see, Romans 6:13, the Bible says, don't yield yourselves, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield your members unto righteousness. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you choose every day whether you're going to let God take the wrenches and adjust your life or you're going to do it yourself. Ask, allow, abide. I don't have time tonight to go to John 15. I would like to encourage you, rather than watching TV, you people who are really serious about what I'm preaching, you ought to go home and sit down with your family. Make sure everybody's ready for bed, and then read John 15 about abiding and understand that God's the vine and we're the branches, and branches are totally worthless without the vine's nourishment and staying connected. But there's a couple of things that pull us apart from abiding in Jesus. One of them is by grieving the Holy Spirit. I want you to take your Bible, please, and I want you to go back to the book of Ephesians. And I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 4, we were in chapter 5. I want you to know something in Ephesians chapter 4. Look, please, at verse 30. And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What does the word grieve mean? It means to hurt. Are you listening tonight? God loves you, and He's not an it or an influence. He is a person, because you can't hurt an influence, but you can hurt a person. Now, God said, if you grieve me, you can grieve me by getting bitter, angry, wrathful, backbiting, smarting off. You can grieve me by doing that. And when you grieve me, you're not going to be controlled. That's why he says in Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The filling of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God taking the Holy Scripture of God to make us holy saints of God. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit of God taking the Holy Scripture of God to make us holy saints of God. Here's what that means. I'm filled with the Spirit when I'm obeying the Word of God. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm doing what the Bible says. I'm seeking to allow His Word to control me. I'm serving Him. And then I'm standing in the lobby, and a brother in Christ makes an unwise or unkind remark, and I get angry. Now watch me. The moment I get angry and I get bitter, I got to make a choice. I'm either going to confess that, get that right with that brother, straighten that thing out, or I'm going to, don't miss it, step out from the Spirit's control. You see, when I move out from under the authority of the Bible, I'm no longer controlled by the Spirit. When you grieve Him, you're no longer abiding. But 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Whereas grieving hurts Him, quenching hinders Him. Sin hurts Him. Stubbornness hinders Him. And you quench Him or grieve Him, you're no longer filled with the Spirit. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verses 18 and following. Be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You've seen the command. You've seen the conditions. Notice the characteristics. How would you know if you're filled with the Spirit? Did you know one of the longest sentences in the New Testament is right there? I stopped at that punctuation mark, but if you look at verse 19, 20, and 21, all of verses 18 to 21 is one sentence. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The first way you know you're filled with the Spirit is because of singing. Can I ask you a question? Are you a singing Christian? So the first evidence is singing. The second evidence is sacrificing. You say, what do you mean sacrifice? Hebrews 13, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Did you know it is not natural to be grateful? It's not natural to be grateful. It's supernatural to be grateful. But I'll tell you what will happen. That tongue will give praise to God. It'll show gratitude. It'll sing. See, what happens when you get filled with the Spirit? You're a brand new person. And then he says, submitting one another in the fear of God. There's three evidences of the filling of the Spirit: singing, sacrificing, and submitting. Now, this is called family night. So here's how we're closing. The word submit is a military term. I'm in a military area. It does mean to rank yourself under. It says, wives, be submissive unto your own husband. Now, the word submit, ladies, does mean to rank yourself under. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. It doesn't mean you're inferior. It carries the idea that for you to be a part, a major contributor to a home that has cohesiveness and has blessing and honors God, you must be a Spirit-filled wife. Why? Because some of you are married to men. If you are not Spirit-filled, not only is it hard to submit, it's hard not to kill him. Now, I don't know what some of you women are thinking. You, if you had to live with that man, well, I'll tell you what. If he had a brain, he'd take it out and play with it. Yes, I know. Look who he married. By the way, ladies, every time you mock or get irritated or slander your husband, you're slandering yourself. Because they too shall be one flesh. I'm going to tell you, ladies, in order for you to subject yourself and follow the leadership of your husband, even when he's making unwise choices, you have to be Spirit-filled. It is not natural. It's supernatural. If you're a husband, it says, husbands, you're to love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, fellas, listen very, very carefully. Why is it a guy wants to date, court his wife, and say, honey, we just got to get married. I love you. I can't live without you. There's no way I can make it. I'll die if you don't marry me. So you've been married for 2 months, and you say, I'm going snorkeling for about 3 days. See you later. Why? My best friend's my wife. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be away from her starting Saturday for 2 weeks. And I love what I'm doing, but I hate being away. In 1 week, I can make no contact with her whatsoever, and I'll probably go through withdrawals. They may have to bury me in Indonesia. I don't know. Thank God for cell phones. Let me say something else to you, fellas. Occasionally, ladies, hear the word I said. Occasionally, you fellas ought to take your wives shopping. I don't know why I'm so slow learning, but I found out that when I take my wife shopping, now you listen to me, sir. She buys less than when she goes by herself. But one day it dawned on me, what my wife wanted was me, not stuff. And so I started going shopping. I'm going to say this, thank God that in the women's department, usually they put chairs. So my wife would go get this stuff and I'd go sit in the chair. And I'd still see this. She'd come out and she'd put this stuff on. She'd say, you like that? And I went, she said, you don't like that? I didn't even say anything. She went and took it off, put on something else. She came out, she said, do you like this? And I said, well. She said, you don't like that either. She went and took that off. We walked out of the store and didn't buy one thing. I said, I figured this out. I am going to save money. No time I'm going to save, but I'm going to save money just going. And you know what I found out? All she wanted to know was I was sitting there watching and interested. I was more interested than the newspaper. I was more interested than my cell phone. I was more interested in all the people that could call. I was interested in what she put on. And that's called love. And then it says, children, how many of you are still living at home? Let me see your hands. If you're 105, I hope not. But how many of you are still living at home? Raise your hands real high, okay? Now, if mom and dad are paying the bill and you're still living at home, you're not going to like this, but there's no word for teenager in the Bible. Now, here's what it says. It says, children, obey. Watch my hands. It means listen under. Let me tell you what kind of dad I had. He would call my name, Tom. And when he got to the I was supposed to be standing right there. Now, here's what some of you are saying tonight. You're going, well, my lambs, the woman submits. The man loves. The children obey. Why? We would have heaven on earth. Yeah. Instead of all the mass pandemonium and anarchy you have in the house, and by the way, that's what a home is supposed to be. Heaven on earth. So that your neighbors say, our home's not like that. Where do y'all go to church? What did you say you are? How do you become one of those? Can we go with you on Sunday? But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when teenagers are smarting off to their Christian parents and moms and dads are at each other's throat, why would your neighbor be interested at all in what you have? It's not a lick different than what they have. I want to ask you a question. Are you filled with the Spirit? You can't be filled with the Spirit till you get saved. And you can't be filled with the Spirit even when you're saved until you ask, allow, and abide. And if you are filled with the Spirit, there'll be singing and sacrificing and submitting. I'm done with this. Don't miss it. His name was Yeats. It's the early 1920s. He runs a sheep ranch. The house is about to cave in. The sheep are scraggly. He's taken out a loan and he can't pay the interest, much less the principal. He says to his wife, they're going to repossess the whole place. Interestingly enough, they found oil, and this is documented and factual, in West Texas on his neighbor's property. The next day, Mr. Yates, yes, we represent such and such an oil company. Your neighbor has oil. We believe you have oil. But the only way we can drill is with your permission. We have a lease. Would you sign it? He had nothing to lose. He signed on the dotted line. They immediately began to drill. The first well went down, and when it did, a gusher. Subsequent wells, so that now thousands of gallons a day are coming out of the ground where he lives. He goes from the pauper to the prince. This is a documented story. He tears down his old house, builds a beautiful mansion in West Texas. He tears down his fences, puts up beautiful white fence. He gets some of the finest sheep. They don't call it the Yates Sheep Ranch anymore. They call it the Yates Pool. On a Sunday afternoon, they tell me, in the early 1920s, those old cars would line up sometimes for a solid mile and slowly drive by to see the richest man's house in town. Do you realize when he bought that property, he had all the mineral rights and everything on it was his? But until he let somebody else drill, he couldn't possess what was his. If you want to know the biggest grief for you as God's people, it's the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you, but He doesn't control you. And you're living a weak, anemic, pauper life when you could enjoy being a prince.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled The Key to Maximum Christian Living from Evangelist Tom Farrell. It was originally presented in November of 2005 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.